disturb me from my slumber. I'm the Eternal Dragon. Now make your first wish. Your wish has been granted. Here is your host, Tim Bridgewater.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to episode 106 of Rock the Dragon, a Dragon Ball Super podcast. Of course, I'm your host, Tim Bridgewater. Thank you to everyone for coming back yet again as we make our way toward, I don't know exactly toward what, but we're definitely in the midst of this tournament of power business. And I got to say, overall, I'm pretty much enjoying most of what we've been seeing here, so no reason to think that anything will change anytime soon. Trying to remain optimistic about it all, as I'm sure you guys are as well. I'd like to remind you that I have a Facebook page, facebook.com/rockthedragonpodcast. Please take a quick second to like that page. We've been doing a lot of talking over there. There's been a lot of conversation. I've been making a lot of posts. I mean, a bunch of interesting things. I mean, things that I think are interesting, I guess, at the very least. So you want to go over there and be a part of that conversation, go like that page. Also, there is a YouTube channel. So if you Google Rock the Dragon Podcast on YouTube, you will find the channel there. I actually just posted a brand new video. If you listen to episode 105, I kind of gave my thoughts on the whole 30th anniversary Blu-ray release of the of Dragon Ball Z. If you have missed that episode, go back and listen to it. I break it all down there. But I was listening back to it and I realized it would make a pretty good video as well, because that way I could show you the things that I'm talking about and kind of illustrate them out in video form. So it's something you'd be down to check out. It's on the YouTube channel. So Google Rock the Dragon Podcast on YouTube. You'll see the video there. Took me a couple hours to make that video. I put a lot of work into it, probably not as much as I would have otherwise, but it's hard, right? Because the news is not exactly new anymore, and I just decided one evening to go ahead and power through and make the video, so I did that. So please, if you get a chance, go subscribe to that channel. Also, give that video a thumbs up if you like it too, because I could use that, okay? Anyway, also, pretty big news, I guess, here for the podcast is now officially on another outlet called Spotify. I'm sure some of you guys have heard of that. So if I have any Spotify users out there, which is probably most of you, I would imagine. I mean, it's got to be between iTunes and Spotify, I would assume, for the most popular app to use for music and podcasts. I mean, not to diss Google, but I just don't hear a lot about Google, and they're kind of, I don't know, it's not the most user-friendly database, and I assume my shit is still up on Google Play because I have a link and it looks like it is, but I don't know. So if it's not on Google Play and it's not on Google Podcasts, either one of those, someone please let me know. It's not exactly easy trying to figure out how to navigate around and how to get in contact with those folks. But it's super easy on iTunes, and it's incredibly simple on Spotify. I actually submitted to Spotify months ago, but I didn't realize I didn't do it right. So I decided to try again, and I found the correct way to do it, and it took one night. The next day, the podcast was up on Spotify. And here I was thinking that it was some long, lengthy ass process. No, none of that. I submitted and now it's up. So if you use Spotify, that is a new outlet that is also available for you to listen to the podcast on. You know, if you Google the podcast, you'll find it in like 8 or 9 different places. Okay. I didn't submit it to all those places, but I'm totally fine with it being there, because at the end of the day, you're still streaming from the exact same source that I uploaded my files to. So it doesn't really matter. Plus, it's a free podcast anyway. So it just kind of doesn't matter who hosts it, you know. It's just it's there. So, but for the record, the only ones I submitted to was Stitcher Radio, iTunes / Apple Podcasts, Google Play / Google Podcasts Now, which I need to make sure is still there, TuneIn, and now Spotify. Okay, so there's a post on the Facebook page I made about it, and some of you guys were excited about that. So you have another outlet to use for the podcast now. While you're on Spotify, my cover of the Dragon Ball Super theme is also on Spotify, the song that we made. You can stream it there. Stream it nonstop if you want. I mean, it's there to stream. So make sure you check that out too, okay? And one more last bit of news here. I've been talking about launching this Patreon for a couple weeks now. I actually made a post on Facebook kind of describing that process and what I know about it and what I think it would be. And I also asked for you guys suggestions and recommendations for things that you would like to see in order for you to be interested in subscribing to a Patreon sort of thing. Okay. I haven't really gone beyond that. I mean, I started to kind of make the account, but it's not public. It's not published or anything because I honestly don't know if I'm going to do it. It's just going to be a matter of getting enough interest. So if this is something that you would like to see and would be interested in being a part of, I need you to let me know. Okay. So head over to facebook.com/rockthedragonpodcast, find that post, leave me a comment, like it, do something, because it's not going to happen if I don't feel like people want it, because it's a lot of work. I mean, it'd be a lot of extra work because it would be something I would be doing in addition to the weekly regular podcast. This would just be extra stuff, extra videos. I'm even thinking about doing a completely new podcast that maybe just focuses on Dragon Ball GT, doing some bonus episodes of this podcast where I review all the Dragon Ball Z movies. There's really just a lot of stuff that can kind of be done, but I need to know if you guys want to see it, because that's the only way I'm going to be able to get motivated to do it. Okay. So let me know. All right. Anyway, so at this point, we're going to jump over into the episode talk for this week. I do have one email I'm going to read, but I'm going to save it for after because it pertains to the episode itself. So, of course, this episode of Rock the Dragon Podcast, episode 106, is going to cover episode 106 of Dragon Ball Super, titled Find Them Out, Death Match with a Furtive Attacker. Furtive, is that right? Furtive? What does that even mean? I don't... Shit. Anyway, I mean, at least it's not really a spoiler-filled title this time, right? It doesn't really reveal too much, so we'll let this one slide for sure. Anyway, so of course we're coming right off of a very interesting previous episode where Master Roshi pretty much attempted to sacrifice himself with a massive super Kamehameha, and so much to the point to where he pretty much fell out and his heart stopped, and Goku revived him in a sort of emotional moment there, and that's pretty much where the episode ended. So of course it picks up right there where Goku is just kind of, you know, just talking to Master Roshi, making sure he's okay. Roshi's basically saying that he's going to sit out for a minute now, you know, get a second wind. And he kind of shoos Goku off to go get back into the action, okay? So, all's well that ends well with that for now, I guess. So then we revisit Piccolo and Gohan. And we get this, the little pig dude, the little pig demon horned warthog dude that we've kind of seen a couple times. I think he's from Universe 6, is that right? Basically, he's giving this whole spiel about his name. His name is Dr. Rota, and he's saying, you know, this, I'm going to tell you how I got my name, and, you know, typical Dragon Ball stuff. And then right before he gets a chance to do that, he gets kind of hit with this beam out of nowhere that kind of takes him out. And I mean, the way he falls out, you know, he looks like he's dead, but then we kind of find out that he's not, because once again, in a tournament of power, if you kill anyone, you are disqualified, so there is no incentive to do that. And this is something that Piccolo kind of points out, and they're kind of wondering exactly what's going on here, because it looks like people are being picked off from a distance by these little thin beams. And Piccolo makes a comment that they're kind of like a special beam cannon, just sort of this concentrated beam of energy that's just kind of sniping people. So basically we have a bit of a sniper sort of a issue situation here, and they can't sense his energy either. So, you know, that could be for many different reasons. I guess it could be this technique that's being used, or more than likely is just there are creatures and people from other universes that you can't sense their energy. It's just kind of how it is. So they had to get the preliminary stuff out of the way, right? Because if they could sense the energy, it'd probably be easier for them to find out exactly what's going on here, where the person is and all that kind of stuff. So in order to have a successful sort of sniper sort of situation, they need to let us know that, well, they can't sense their energy. Okay. But I like this. I mean, I'll say this. This is not the most exciting episode, believe it or not. I mean, it almost kind of feels a little bit, I don't know. It's just missing something, I think, that a lot of the other episodes had. But it's not a bad episode at all. I mean, I don't know. There's just something kind of lame about this person just kind of hiding, sniping people. I mean, it's a very smart tactic to use. But we want to see fights, right? I mean, that, you know. So we get a character who's just kind of hiding, taking people out. It's not really the most honorable thing. And Vegeta points that out later on in the episode himself. But so we kind of see him a little bit. And it's like, it's a guy who's kind of using these little orbs. Apparently he can see through these orbs. So around corners and behind rocks and places that he wouldn't be able to see with his naked eye. He's able to see through these little orbs. And there's like these energy beams coming from the orbs, and they try to Gohan and Piccolo try to sort of move to a different area, and then Piccolo's arm is blown off. Okay, so there's a little bit of that violence that we miss from Dragon Ball Z, but of course, you know, it doesn't create any sort of suspense when Piccolo loses an arm. Because we already know he's going to grow it back, okay? So I guess it's lucky for him, lucky for all of them, that the only person that ever gets their arms blown off is Piccolo, right? The one person who can grow them back. So, I don't know. But yeah, so he loses his arm. It takes a couple seconds to grow it back. So Piccolo is just saying, you know, don't worry about the arm. I told you I'll be fine. He's telling Gohan that. And he's saying all that matters is that we have to find a way to take out this sniper. And Gohan is saying, how are we going to do that? And Piccolo kind of gives this smirk because, well, it's Piccolo, right? Who, once again, in my opinion, is the smartest Z fighter that exists. He's not always the strongest, but he always has pretty good ideas. Now, those ideas don't, you know, they're a little bit, he has to go through a little bit of trial and error in this situation. But he still kind of, in the end, he still really kind of figures it out. So while they're kind of hatching their plan, we see a close-up of this guy who's unleashing these orbs. He releases a ton more. And then we go back to Piccolo, who's kind of hiding behind a rock. And then he uses his rubber arms, his stretching ability to kind of reach out. You know, that way, you know, he's not exposing his entire body, at least. Meanwhile, this guy has this complex sort of system set up where, I mean, he's just bouncing these little beams off the orbs and they're kind of reflecting off things and I mean, and ricocheting all over the place, which makes it hard for them to kind of take cover, right? Because there's so many of these little orbs around. But then Piccolo says he basically has an idea for that too, to get cover. And that ends up being Gohan picks up this boulder and throws it. Piccolo shoots it, creating this big dust cloud. And then so the idea is that they would use a dust cloud to hide their movements. Okay, now this is still with the assumption here that whoever this assassin is, this sniper, is using their vision, basically, their normal vision to kind of track them here. So they're walking through the dust cloud. Piccolo finds one of the little orbs on the ground. He picks it up, and then we get a shot of the sniper dude, and you know, they quickly realize that because he's holding it, they get a beam launched at them. So he figures it out that the orb must be helping him locate the targets. He kind of burns his hand, and then he throws it on the ground and crushes it. Meanwhile, there's another beam that comes right after that and just kind of lights up that whole area. And then we check in with the Grand Zenos for a quick second. And of course, Grand Minister has to kind of update them while kind of updating the audience, letting them, you know, it's just kind of, they have to comment. We have to switch to them every now and then to get their commentary. And they really like the idea of snipers, and they wish they were more snipers. And if it was a sniping tournament, it'd be boring as hell to watch. So let's be glad that didn't happen. So Tien comes across the little pig warthog dude, And then Goku and Vegeta show up, which was kind of a nice surprise. I mean, I didn't know what to expect. I didn't know if we were going to just follow Gohan and Piccolo for the entire episode. And I mean, we've been seeing a lot of Goku, but not much of Vegeta. So I'm really more excited that he showed up. Okay. So, but they both walk up and Tien's like, hey, you guys need to get down. And Vegeta's like, I'm not worried about it. And then they almost get taken out. And Vegeta does make the comment that the sniper is a coward. You know, it's like there's no honor in that at all. I was like, that's right, man. Like, I appreciate him acknowledging that. So then we go back to Piccolo, who now has both of his arms blown off. Man, and somehow Gohan didn't get hurt at all, even though when they showed that beam, it was headed directly for Gohan. But I guess you could say, there's no maybe about it. Gohan's stronger than Piccolo, right? So I don't know, maybe, you know, his defenses were up and he was able to not be hurt. But Piccolo got both of his arms blown off. But, you know, Gohan's asking him at this point, do you even have the strength to grow them back? So this is something that I don't know if they've really talked about a lot. I mean, obviously we've seen Piccolo grow his limbs back, but this whole idea of him having the strength to do it and it taking a lot of strength to do it is something that I feel like they're kind of elaborating more so on this episode, probably than they've ever done before. And I mean, it makes sense. Yeah, I mean, it makes perfect sense that would take a lot of strength and ki and, you know, power to do. But I just found it interesting how they're just kind of really hammering it home on this episode. So then Piccolo regrows his arms. He realizes that is the body heat that the guy is tracking instead. And Gohan says we can suppress our energy, but we can't suppress our body heat. And then Piccolo has another plan. So he's, you know, trial and error. So they start shooting these little beams of energy out of their fingers, creating this heat. You know, they're basically creating hot spots all over the place to make it harder for this guy who's clearly tracking them based on their body heat to track them. But he has another plan up his sleeve. He just decides to just reflect all sorts of beams at once and just kind of go ham on that whole area. So Tien, Vegeta, and Goku are kind of watching this from a distance, but they're kind of doing their own sort of investigation here, the mystery of the sniper. And they kind of come to the realization that it's probably two guys. One guy is actually releasing the energy blast, and the other guy is sort of reflecting them. So Vegeta rushes in to go stop it. Goku tells him to stop. Tien says, you guys go ahead. I'm going to go help Gohan and Piccolo out. Meanwhile, Gohan and Piccolo are pinned down. They're kind of under these rocks. Here comes Tien. I feel like I'm doing a lot of just commentary this episode. And that's what I'm saying, because it's not a lot of really interesting stuff going on here. So I'm kind of just commenting on what I'm seeing. But I tell you this, watching them run again is weird, right? That whole traditional anime run where they have the arms sticking out at the back. I don't think we've seen that in a while in Dragon Ball Super or Z, really, because everyone can fly, right? So it's interesting to see that again now that no one can fly in the Tournament of Power. So we have to watch these characters run everywhere, which is cool, but it's just a little bit, you know, just got to get used to that again. So we do see Tien running. He has a plan to try to help Piccolo and Gohan. He's telling them that they just need to get out of there so Goku and Vegeta can do their thing. And then we have Vegeta and Goku running towards the sniper. And they both unleashed their most powerful blast. Well, I guess not the most powerful blast for Vegeta. Not sure what's more powerful than a Final Flash or Gallic Gun for him. I mean, I would assume Final Flash, but it just, I thought it was interesting how they both ran up and could just kind of use their main sort of attacks. You know, I don't know. Usually they don't just throw those moves out. Those are like finishing moves, right? So I just thought it's not a complaint. I'm just saying it's just a little bit weird, but it was a cool moment. It was a cool moment because Vegeta's like, there's no way your beam is as good as my Gallic Gun or whatever. And I'm like, what does that remind me of? The very first time you guys fought and they had that epic battle, where Vegeta had the Gallic gun coming down and Goku had the Kamehameha going up. And what did he say? His beam is just as strong as my Gallic gun. So how quickly we forget Vegeta. Or maybe that was a little subtle Easter egg or something. I don't know. Anyway, they both unleash the blast. In a very cool moment. Looks awesome. They pretty much blow the shit out of that little mountain. And then Vegeta has a little bit to say, and he does another Gallic gun. I think he does it like three times. I mean, he doesn't announce it each time, but it's the same technique. And they're kind of releasing him at this guy, but you know how quickly we forget that all he does is kind of absorb energy and sort of reflect it. So that's not really going to help. And we do get to see his teammate, and for sure the teammate is definitely hitting him with the blast. He's sort of reflecting it off. So this gives them sort of a technique here, and they kind of realize that they should be going for the other guy because he's the one delivering the actual power, not doing the reflecting itself. And it's kind of a good technique because as long as that other guy keeps moving, you know, because you might say, well, why didn't he just attack them directly himself? Why does he need someone to reflect it? Because they can't see the other guy. That's why, you know, he can kind of hide in the shadows and be safe, quote unquote, in the dark, hopping from mountain to mountain, unleashing the power, but not be a threat to be hit. Meanwhile, the person that is a threat to be hit can't really be hurt by energy. So it's a really good tactic. And that's one of the things that I really like about the Tournament of Power is that we're seeing some creative sort of techniques, team-based techniques, where these characters are having to work together to come out on top. So Tien, of course, is watching all of this, and he points out the fact that the actual sniper guy is moving around a lot. He's jumping from rock to rock, and he has an idea of how he can kind of contribute, and he does his multi-form technique, which is always cool to see. And of course, someone has to ask, because they have to remind the audience of what this is. So the way you do that is that you have one of the characters on the show ask, well, what is this? And in this case, it's Beerus. And then Krillin kind of quickly explains that it is that he can split himself into four parts, but it has a weak point. And we find out soon after that weak point, of course, is that he's not actually cloning himself. Right, he's just splitting himself into four parts, which means he doesn't have all of his power is split into four. So, you know, for example, if his power level, I know his power level is not 1,000, but this is just an example. That means each one of his people would have a power level of 250, right? So he has the numbers, but he doesn't have the power. So that makes each copy a little bit weaker than they would normally be, and his techniques won't be as strong, and hell, one of them gets wiped out really quickly. I mean, like stupid quick. But they do kind of a good job of explaining why that is, because Krillin says, you know, normally like Tien would be able to see these attacks coming, because I mean he has three eyes, shit, why wouldn't he? Normally Tien would be able to see these attacks coming and everything, but with his power being split like that, he doesn't have the power to deflect the blasts. So all he can kind of do is just run toward them and I guess get hit. I mean, I don't know why he didn't try to duck or something, but okay. So yeah. So then another one of Tien's copies gets picked off and he's still kind of going for it. Vegeta does a little bit of, you know, thanking himself here and says, well, if I can't use energy, I'll use brawn, which is, hell, good idea once again. So he and Goku basically just start picking up these big ass rocks and just chunking them at this dude. But it's working because it's keeping him on the move, right? And meanwhile, his partner can't fire because he's being pursued by Tien. All right. So he's kind of hiding behind a rock. Tien has two copies left. Well, one copy, I guess, if you count him. I mean, if you don't count him, and then that other one gets his ass blown away, but he gets Tien close enough in range to where he can set up a nice Neo Tri-Beam, and man, he does. He unleashes that thing, and he does some major damage, enough to at least bring this guy down to his knees, And his shoulders are pretty much kind of destroyed at this point, so he really can't lift his arms to kind of do his sniping duty. But, you know, in traditional fashion here, you think you have the upper hand, so you kind of let your guard down a little bit, and that's when shit happens. And that's basically what happens here with Tien. His arms are already pointed at the ground, so at this point, he just fires the blast directly into the ground. The ground that they're both standing on, which is pretty much right near the edge of the ring. So because of that, Tien falls out. Okay? He falls out. Bye-bye, Tien. But Tien says, fuck that. I'm not going out like that. I'm not going out alone. You're coming with me. So his three copies pop up out of nowhere, which I guess they weren't that injured because now they're okay. They seem to be fine here. But I guess they mustered up enough strength to run up behind this dude, grab him, and just kind of and fall off the edge of the ring with him. So Tien went out, but he took somebody out with him. So we were all wondering who the next person from Universe 7 to be eliminated was going to be. And the answer is Tien. And I probably would have... I think I would have guessed that. Yeah, why not? I mean, especially, I wasn't expecting Krillin to go first. But if they're going in that sort of order, then Tien seems to be the next logical one. Especially because we're seeing that the androids are way stronger now than what we probably thought they were going to be initially. And then, oh no, the doctor's back. The doctor, I kind of love the way the doctor runs up and he's hugging this dude. Just with his chin's kind of on his belly, and it just reminds me of like a little kid. You know, like a little kid that's just like running up and hugging you and begging for something and asking for a snack or some shit. But man, he really wanted to tell that story. But no one wants to hear that story. And as Vegeta tells him, nobody cares. And he unleashes one final Gallic gun and knocks both of these guys out of the ring. Which I love that moment because he just said nobody cares. And it's pretty sweet. So yeah, we got those two dudes. They are from the sixth. So both of those guys were from Universe 6. Is that right? Oh no, one of them was from the second universe, and the little doctor is from the sixth. I was about to say, I was like, my math is off there. So the sixth has lost yet another person. So they're down, what, two now, I think, between Botamo and Dr. Rota, maybe. And then there's still Magetta and Kale and Caulifla and Kaba and Hit and those two mysterious Namekians that popped up on the screen that we still haven't met. and I'm probably forgetting Frost, right? Okay, I'm trying to, it's hard to keep up with this kind of shit. And obviously I'm not even trying to keep up with all of them. I mean, but we've been spending a lot of time with Universe 6, so I'm a little bit more invested in their team. But yeah, these dudes are gone now. So they're taking a moment to reflect on the fact that they just lost another teammate, and Goku's saying, oh man, first we lost Krillin and now we lost Tien. But Vegeta's of course saying it doesn't matter. I can take on the remaining fighters myself. Very typical Vegeta thing to say. And Goku's like, I don't know about that. And then he has, I don't know if that's like a little vision of Jiren, or he just, I guess he's just kind of acknowledging the fact that Jiren's still there. Obviously all of this is like foreshadowing. I mean, that Jiren and Goku are going to be like the main event of this whole thing. I mean, I'm kind of hoping that I'm wrong about that, and maybe they won't be. I mean, I know they're going to fight, obviously, but I'm hoping there's some other twist, you know. I mean, I don't know. Who knows? I don't know. I didn't watch the Japanese dub, so I'm not sure what what's going to happen here. And if you know, don't tell me, okay? Anyway, that about does it for the episode talk, guys. So what did you think about that? What are you saying? See me an email at rockthedragonpodcast@gmail.com. With that being said, there's only 32 minutes left in the Tournament of Power now. So, and we have about, what, 25 episodes left? So that's kind of, you know, yeah, that'll be an interesting 25 episodes. So we're going to switch over to What Are You Saying Now. I have an email here from Andrew number two. Andrew, always good to hear from you, man. Says here in the subject line, Tien. Andrew writes, it's one thing I like is demonstrating how I earn my title doctor. Oh, I completely butchered that. Sorry. You're speaking as the character. It's one thing I like demonstrating is how I earn my title doctor. How, Tim? How? I need to know. I need Universe 6 to survive so I can figure out how Dr. Rota got his title. In all seriousness, this episode was good, not great. I wish Tien would have looked better, but what can you do? At least he isn't treated like Yamcha. Hope you're doing well. Keep up the fantastic work, Andrew number two. Andrew, thanks for writing in, man. Yeah. I'm a little bit curious now as to how Dr. Rota got his name too. I mean, maybe we can get a spinoff show about Doc now. No. Yeah, no, I mean, it was definitely a nice little setup, and I love the way they kind of paid it off by just having Vegeta say, "Who cares?" and just kind of blasting his ass out the ring. I felt the exact same way. It wasn't a great episode or anything. It was a perfectly fine episode, but it wasn't the best, I think. Especially considering the episodes that we have been getting lately, but that's okay. Not every episode is going to be 5 stars. You're going to have a couple threes in there and stuff like that every now and then. Okay. And yeah, I mean, I kind of wish Tien would have gotten a little bit more time to shine before getting knocked out. I mean, he didn't really get a chance to do much. He did take out at least one person. I mean, I think it's safe to assume he took out more than that. And maybe we just didn't see it. But yeah, I was kind of hoping that the Tournament of Power would have been sort of the perfect chance to get a lot of these characters that aren't featured much and get them back in the forefront. And it is. Don't get me wrong. I mean, because Roshi got a time to shine, Krillin got a moment to shine, and Tien got a moment to shine. But I think I was just kind of hoping that they would stick around a little bit longer than they are. But you know, we only have so many episodes left and there's a lot more story to tell. So I guess we'll see. And like you said, at least he isn't treated like Yamcha. And yeah, man. Okay. So Andrew, thanks for writing in, man. As always, if you have a question, concern, comment about anything, of course, you can send me an email as well. RockTheDragonPodcast@gmail.com. Just one more reminder that the podcast is now available on Spotify for anyone out there who would prefer to use that as their main source. I don't know if you can leave reviews on Spotify as of yet. I'm not sure how that works. I honestly had never even really used Spotify until recently. I decided to go ahead and sign up, you know, of course, to submit the podcast, but as well as to use it to listen to music. I just usually listen to my own music from my own iTunes library. I don't do a lot of streaming. And if I do some streaming, it's usually from Pandora. So I'm kind of looking forward to checking out Spotify and kind of seeing what it's all about. So you guys let me know. I'm sure many of you guys have been using it for a long time. And if there is a way to leave reviews, obviously I welcome reviews on Spotify as well as iTunes and any other place. If you want to say a couple good words. Okay, well, we'll be back very soon with episode 107, and I'm trying to get caught up. I know I'm still a little bit behind here, but I'm making some progress. My move is still happening. I'm still moving out of my apartment, so be on the lookout for some very, hopefully not too confusing and too unorganized podcast releases in the near future. Please, please, please go to the Facebook page, look for the Patreon post, and leave me your suggestions and requests of what you would like to see or hear me talk about over there, because right now I both need the motivation and the ideas, to be honest with you. So if that's something you'd like to see, think hard and long about it, head over there, let me know, or you can send me an email, let me know. All right, guys, well, I'm going to get out of here for the night. Go take me a bath. So until next time, for Rock the Dragon Podcast, I'm Tim Bridgewater. And I'll see you next time. Keep on rocking the dragon.